We've been looking at our new year, and we've been looking at God showing us a word that would help to focus us in an area of our life that maybe, I don't know, maybe we've never seen this area before as something we need to work on. Maybe it'll be a surprise, maybe it won't be a surprise. But as you read this month, as you've been reading in Scripture and studying in the Word, you know, if God just kind of jumps a word out at you, hold on to that and then put it someplace that it reminds you. And then every time maybe you come across the word or do a word study in the Bible on that word, just to find out what God has for you. That's what we're looking at. And as we preach these sermons, that's what I kind of want you to be thinking about. Although it's not, the sermons are not entirely about that word. It is about one word, but it's about the word. It's about the Word of God. And so as we teach these sermons, I pray that you'll get something away from it to help you dig and study, to help you realize just how important and how incredible the Word of God is in our life. Today, we're going to be looking at one word, and that word today that we're going to be looking at is planted. It's planted. You see, we've been looking at looking and finding direction, and we've talked about in the beginning, God created. And we know that in the beginning, the Word was God and the Word was with God. We know that because John 1:1, it's kind of incredible. Genesis 1:1 is in the beginning God created. And John 1:1 is, you know, in the beginning was the Word. And so the Word of God is very, very important. We've talked about that. And last week we talked about being in step with God. And Psalm 1:1 in the YouVersion NIV says, "Blessed is the one who does not keep in step with the wicked." You see, we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of scriptures in the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament about keeping in step with God and not marching to the world. And I gave you the illustration of basically, you know, World War II, Nazi Germany, of all those poor people that thought they were marching in the right direction, and they were marching to millions of people's death, innocent people's death. And we don't want to be marching with the enemy like that. And so when you're keeping in step with the enemy, you can get yourself in trouble. But if you're in step with God, it's way better. Way better. The outcome's much better. The retirement plan is much better. You know? Yeah. So Psalm 1:1-6 is still our key verse, scripture. And this morning we're going to read it. It says, "Blessed is the man." Actually, we're going to read 1-3. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law." It is in the word of the Lord. "And on his law, on his word, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Are you planted? And are you planted in a good place? Over the last few years, when I was the grounds crew foreman, grounds crew leader, I worked with a lot of people in planting trees. And since I've been at the college almost 4.5 years, a little over that, they've planted over 1,000 trees. And all of those trees didn't make it. And the reason is some of them, we told them, "You shouldn't be planting a tree here, because there's no water. There's no soil." And in this scripture, it says that we are planted like a tree next to the water. We're planted next to a source of nourishment. And, you know, have you ever noticed that there's a lot of trees by creeks? And have you ever noticed if you're down there fishing and you got to dig with worms, the dirt's always better down there by those trees? It's an environment that in nature is suited for growth, and it is suited for just being a pleasant place. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be down on a creek someplace than setting up on a rocky knob between North and South Owl Creek. Right, Steve? Yeah, we used to live there. Yeah, and we were right up on top of this old flat, and it was beautiful, but it really was not suited for a whole lot other than a gas plant and a windbreak and a few gardens and a lot of water. But you see, God says that we are planted by streams of water, and we yield fruit in season, and our leaf does not wither. You can tell when a tree's not doing well because the first thing that happens is its leaves start withering. And God says, we're not that way. We're not that way. So are you planted in the right spot? When I first wrote this question down for us to think about, I thought about Kelsey's big dog, Benny. And anybody that's been to our house, you know that Benny, he just plants himself. And he really does not care about you whatsoever, because he really thinks that the universe revolves around him. Right, Pam? Yeah, he does. And he just plants himself. And so every night that he is at our house, I get in bed, and he plants himself right next to my bed. I cannot get out of bed without stepping on the dog, and so sometimes I forget about it. And are you planted someplace that is not very convenient for others? Or are you planted someplace that maybe isn't very convenient for God? When God wants to move, you're planted. You know, you're planted in the wrong spot. God says you need to be planted, but you need to be planted by streams of living water. You need to be planted in the right place. So what we're talking about today is in this planting is we're talking about every day. You've got to have a place that is your safe and quiet place. It's your planted place. It's a place where you can plant yourself for a while. It's your place where you can just get alone with God. And I know how hard it is for everything in your mind to stop. And I know how hard it is to not be logical. I'm a very logical person, okay? And I know how hard it is. And sometimes I just have to say, okay, I'm just going to sit here. And Lord, I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to ask you to show me the living water in the word today. I'm going to ask you to give me some living water. I'm going to ask you, Father, to refresh my soul, to refresh my entire being. You see, sometimes we get planted, and Jeff and I talked about this a little bit before church, we get planted in front of world media. You know, everybody was talking about our president tweeting and doing all that. It's like, I didn't know what he was tweeting. And I really don't care. I really don't. You know, what I care about is he making decisions for our country that are morally right? And a lot of people are like, well, he shut the whole stinking country down. I said, well, sometimes the whole stinking country needs to get shut down a little bit to wake up. You can only spend everybody's money so long, and you run out of everybody else's money, and you're broke, and then everybody's broke. You see, but world media isn't where it's at. I have a friend who is a creation scientist. At one time, he was the head biologist of the state of South Dakota. And when he retired, and he started getting online more. And he's also an archaeologist. And man, his hobby and passion is creation science and archaeology, is, you know, finding these things in archaeology that point to the Bible. And he got so saturated in the internet that finally a couple of his friends had to really intervene. And he said, it's not that it was bad stuff, it just wasn't the best stuff. I was seated, I was planted in the wrong place. And he said it really got to become a problem, and he's taken care of that problem and realized what it was for it was. But we can't be planted in the wrong place. We can't be planted in front of you know, just an endless stream of media. We can't be planted in the seat of mockers, or in the seed of gossipers. We can't be planted there. God says, I want you planted by the streams of living water. Because if you follow in him, and if you step in, or you're in step with him, that's where you will be. In Jeremiah 2:13, we have a very, very, very clear distinction of what God is talking about here. He says this. He says, my people have committed two sins. And the Israelites have been deported out of their country. Their country has been taken over. They're in exile. And Jeremiah the prophet says, my people, God is speaking through Jeremiah, he says, they have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What God is saying here is, you're not coming to me for that living water. You're basically substituting it for something else. I don't know about you, how many of you have drinking out of an artesian well, I mean, up in the mountains? A spring. It's just not, you know, it's just coming out of the sun. And it is so, so fresh. It is so incredible, right? How many of you have drank water out of a cistern that's not working quite right? Yeah, and you're like, man, I'm not sure what that is, but it smells like duck poop. you know? And God says that if you come to me in the living water, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have living water. But if you try to substitute that with something else, you know, people substitute it with all kinds of things. They substitute it with organizations. They substitute it with religion rather than relationship. They substitute it with their job. They substitute it with all kinds of different things. And God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to come to me. I want you to be planted. We need to be planted by this stream of living water. John 4, 10 through 14, God is talking to this lady at a well. And he's sitting there, and this gal comes out to draw water, and you probably know this story, and he tells her, you know, a lot of things, and she realizes who he is. But before she comes to that revelation, she says, you know, how are you going to draw water? You don't have anything. Jesus says, well, I can give you living water. And Jesus answers her, and he says this. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, if you knew the gift of God, that's why I'm always, always, always stressing the gift of Christ Jesus in our life, the salvation, the regeneration, the relationship, the grace, the gift of God. To just dwell on who Jesus is an endless journey that is a wonderful journey, and we need to do it more. You know, when we're in difficulty, we need to stop and say, Lord, you love me enough. You love me enough to put me here so that you can grow me and walk me through this. You love me enough. Rather than, why are you doing this, God? What is wrong with you? Are you sick? We should say, Lord, you love me enough because Jesus Christ walked through way more than we ever did, and he's right here with us, beside us and within us. And so it says here, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then the lady says, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Hey, that's a good answer, right? Because she's thinking about the cisterns that mankind, that well is a representation of a cistern, of a well. You had to draw water out of it. It wasn't a living well. It didn't have water springing up out of it. She says, you got nothing to draw. You know, how can you do that? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? You know, here's another thing. If you're sharing worldly water, you're probably eating with a bunch of animals. Yeah, you know, those wells weren't the most fresh place to be. She said, you know what, this well's been around for a long time, since Jacob. That's a long time, and that water has supplied, well, this had supplied water. And she says, she's thinking about the cistern. She's thinking about something that, she's not thinking about the living water of Jesus. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, he says, if you ask, you'll get this living water. Now, I'm going to tell you something that won't be a shock, but a reminder. In order to get living water, you have to slow down and get planted. Living water is not a drive-through McDonald's fast living water window. You know, and don't get me wrong, Cindy and I, we drive through and get fast food because we're busy. Or once in a while, we just like to eat unhealthy, right? It's like, how about? Yeah, and it sounds good. But you know, see, God says you need to get planted. Just like a tree, you got to find a place where you can plant yourself. And as you plant yourself, it's interesting that if you could see a creek develop itself over years and maybe possibly centuries, here you got water running down through this area, and trees start growing, and their roots go down, and pretty soon they grow, and their shade, and the leaves fall off, and it decomposes, and the soil gets better, and pretty soon more and more and more and more things grow. You see, if you find that place where you can put your roots down, you will grow. But it takes time. And a lot of times people say, okay, I got my Bible, I sit down, and I say, okay, God, what's going on? And nothing happened. Well, good for you. Aren't we patient? Right? We're not very patient. But if you go to the same place, you find that place. And you know, Cindy and I, we have that place. The one movie on the Prayer Warrior, the war room, this lady had a closet. And if you remember in the movie, when they sold the house, they sold it to a pastor and his wife. Was it the pastor or his wife walked in that closet and went, whoa, this is a place of prayer. You see, that spiritual essence was there. And God will grow a spiritual essence in your place, in your time. But you got to plant yourself. You got to plant yourself. The best way to get planted is to spend time seated. You know, I pray and I walk. I do. I pray when I walk. I pray when I work. I pray. And one of the hardest disciplines that I have made myself do is to sit down and pray and focus on the Word and focus on God so that I'm distracted less, okay? But you have to be seated. This morning in our communion, I read Ephesians 4:2-6, excuse me, and I'm going to read it again. It says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." A lot of people miss the fact that this is past tense. It's done. It's been done. A lot of people, and I've heard pastors actually preach this and preach it wrongly, poorly, and say, yep, someday we're going to be seated with Christ. It said it already happened. And like I said in communion this morning, in the Spirit, Jesus Christ dwells in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. He surrounds us. We know that Jesus is in heaven. He's sitting on the throne. But we have been seated there because God has placed Himself in us. And so we are now spiritual beings that transcend two dimensions. You're two-dimensional. Yes, you're also three-dimensional because light shines on you and cast a three-dimensional image. But you're two-dimensional in the Spirit. You're not just a soul. And sometimes, you know, a lot of religions, they teach, if you just work hard enough, you will no longer be a soul, but you will be a total spiritual being if you just om enough and burn enough incense and set in a bamboo hut someplace in the Middle East. I don't know, you know. But no, you are a two-dimensional spiritual person. You are here, and you are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And when God says, I want you to be planted, He wants you to imagine yourself seated with Him. Because how can you talk to Him if He's not there? Right? So we become more and more familiar with the presence of Christ in us. A really good book is Brother Andrew's Practicing the Presence. He practiced the presence of Christ in everything that he did. And it helped him with his quiet time. You know, he still had his alone time. But he took it out of there. And pretty soon, God was with him all the time. The presence was there. The awareness that God was there in a very, very real and strong way. And that's what God says. I've planted you. I've seated you. Seated with Christ, you are planted by the streams of living water. Because Jesus Christ is the living water. The Holy Spirit wells up within us. And He is a spring of living water. And seated and planted by it, we become a well of living water ourselves. If I don't get my quiet time 3 or 4 days in a row, and it has happened, you can tell. Kelsey's laughing. She's seen it. You know, I'm sure that Cindy and the girls at time or two have wanted to lay hands on me and cast whatever that was out of me. But, you know, I mean, you can really tell. You know, if you're not taking in living water, you don't have living water to flow out of you. A dear mentor of mine, Aunt Pearl Adkins, lived to be 103 years old, planted churches, got thousands of people saved. I said to her one time, I said, Aunt Pearl, how do you do it? How do you consistently live in such a gracious state? And she says, she called me Jimmy. You can call me Pastor Jim. She called me Jimmy. She was, you know, old. She could do that. You know, if you're old, you can do that too. Anyway, she said, Jimmy, I just get up every day and I empty myself out of me. And I wait long enough for God to fill me up with Him so that I have that living water full up so that I can be a container and a vessel that God can pour out of. And it is really, that is such a simple concept, isn't it? And it is so difficult to do because we are spiritual beings walking around in a flesh suit. We're like that guy on Men in Black that the bug takes over, you know? Those of you that have seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Edgar, I don't know, anyway. But you see, it can be very, very, very difficult. Whoever drinks the water I give him, John 4:14, it says, will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you want living water to really work in your life, you need soap. If you want to put this up, you need soap. This is one of the most incredible acronyms for spending some time with God. Wayne Cadero came up with it, and he's associated with our network of churches in the Pacific, and he's also the chancellor of our Bible college out in Eugene, Oregon. And he came up with this, and it is amazing. If you want living water to really work in your life, you need soap. You know, soap and water, man, there's just not a better combination, right? And how about some living soap and some living water? First of all, Scripture. Plant yourself and read some. That's just the first thing to do. And then after you read it, okay, God's going to bring something out to you. You know, what is God saying to you in the Scripture? What is He saying to you? That's why I read through the Bible every year, but I also have, I have a devotion on praise and worship that I do, because it pulls out. That way, I know I got about three or four different areas every day that God can talk to me. And sometimes, you know, I'll read three or four chapters and I'll go, man, I didn't really, but I'll get my devotion out and boom, it's right there. You know, one of my three devotions, and it's there, that word. So what is He saying to you? What is He saying to you? A lot of times people read the word, and unfortunately they read it and they study it for academic knowledge, because we're kind of trained to do that, okay? But God says, no, what am I saying to you? This is a living word. What am I saying to you? And then, and sometimes you might want to just, you know, you can make a little, have a notebook. I have a little prayer journal, and I have, on some pages, I have this. Some pages I just have a scripture, and then, you know, sometimes I just do this. You know, I put soap on my prayer journal, and it's application. What must I do to apply His word to my life? Now, notice that word must. There's a difference between what must I do and what can I do. What can I do, usually we choose not to. But when God says you must do it, it's way different, right? You get that? That little, you know, what must I do? What can I do? Can I? Can I need it? No. So God says, what must I do? And then don't forget to ask God to help you, to guide you. And let His word saturate you. Don't forget that. Because He will. He will do it. He has promised over and over and over again that no matter what our personality is, He is, we talked about it last week, He is the perfect counselor. He is the counselor that knows every personality. He is the counselor that knows us, you know, inside and out better than we know ourselves. And so we ask God to help me, to guide me, and to let His word saturate us, to the point that it changes us and changes the world around us. So, this week I encourage you to get out some living water, get out some living soap, not Lysol, living soap. Living soap smells good. I'm pretty sure that it was made in heaven with essential oils. Yes. Right? Yeah. So I encourage you to get out your living water, get out your living soap, and spend some time with God, because Hebrews 10:22 and 23 is a promise for us. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. When we come to God, we can have a full assurance of our faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, but then having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. God says if you get in the living water and get it with the soap that you need, He says, I will give you a scrubbing, child, and you will not be the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that your word, Lord, can penetrate so deeply into our hearts and into our lives, into our minds. It can penetrate, Lord, our very spirits. It can take that dead and dark spirit and can make it alive again every day. Lord, your living water gives us what we need to quench that thirst of longing, that thirst of desire to have more, to have you. So, Father, I pray that this week you will show us, Lord, how to partake of your living water and how to spend time seated and planted with you. In Jesus' name, amen.